Gothic weren't really the ones that I remember. They were held in the chapel sometime around the Christmas season.
Yes.
And they had a chairman as a rule. They generally started off with a tea, and then they started the concert very often about 11 o'clock at night. And anybody could come forward. The chairman just used to open the thing, generally with a prayer and a hymn. And then anybody that liked could come forward and offer to sing. And quite a lot of people did. And most of the songs were of a religious type and sometimes quite well-known hymns. And most of them were in English, but you got an occasional one in the Manx Gaelic.
And would these go on for the same length as a carvel, you know, with the, or were they,
Oh, not like the old carvels, no. I don't think I ever heard one of the old carvels sung completely at a Methodist ilvary. They used to sing more like things like, well, they were very fond of a song called The Holy City in Manx Gaelic. That was a great favourite.
Yeah, is this anything to do with the one we know in general?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the
That's what
same song,
the.
but translated into
Oh,
Manx
see,
Gaelic
yes,
and
yes.
sung in Manx Gaelic. And sometimes they would, one or two of the carvels that I afterwards used for the children, they were sung at ilveries. And they were taken, some of them, words were taken from the old carvels, but they weren't the complete carvel usually. They were just the verses that referred to the Nativity or to something round about Christmas. For instance, Lig den slaan seal curvalia, let the whole world give praise.
Yes.
That is part of an old carvel, but they only used about four verses of it.
Yes. And this is what each man sung. Would you ever get would you ever get the rivalry?
Not obviously, no. I suppose there was a certain amount of rivalry, but not like it used to be in the traditional ilveries when they had them in the parish churches. I suppose people used to try and outdo each other a bit, but it wasn't very obvious. It was all a good deal more decorous than there used to be, according to account.
Yes, yeah. And how long into the night would these go on for?
Oh, any time up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the
In the
morning.
morning,
And they used to very often have a break in the middle, and they'd have another cup of tea and some more bun loaf or something like that, and then some of the young ones would go out on the road and dance and play games and that
Yes,
kind of thing and come back and do a bit more singing.
Yeah.
It used to be a great thing to dance on the road at the after the tea party or the ilvary.
Yes. And this would take place in the Methodist chapel or in
Yes,
the
used
big
to,
yes.
the chapel at the bottom of the road is the one I most remember going to for these things, but they had them in various chapels all over the island, I think. I didn't get very far afield. I used to go to this one and sometimes over to Cardle. They had quite a good one at Cardle, and they used to sing very long things there. And I remember one year they were criticised for singing too many verses of a carol or something. And they took umbrage at this, and one woman got up and she said, "Well, you can say what you like, but if there was 102 verses, the Cardinal Choir would sing them all."
How long did the ilveries go on for? You might mean
You mean when did they stop holding them?
yes.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of one going on since the war. Not of the old pattern.
This is the last war.
But of course they still have one out at Cuckmichael on the 6th of January or the 5th of January. They call it an ilvery, But it isn't really, because it's an arranged programme. They call it that, I think, because it's held on the old Christmas Eve. But and they do have Christmas hymns and that kind of thing, but they generally have a Manx play or Pops 2 plays and an arranged programme of songs and so on, recitations. They don't seem to go in for dancing over there. And they call it by the same name, but it isn't at all like the old ones used to be in the chapels.
Yes, it was it's a bit less impromptu and more formal.
Much more formal, yes.
Much more formal now, yes.
Mm. It was really, it's really a concert that they have at Michael, but they give it the other name.
Mm.
But the other things that were used to take place in the chapels, you never know what was going to come on next. It might be a song, it might be a recitation, it might be a duet, might even be a choral piece,
yes.
Group of people coming to do something in...
Well, and would it necessarily be a religious song? Could it be secular songs they could be singing?
No, not really secular songs. They would have some religious significance. They need not necessarily be hymns, although I suppose the majority of them were.
Mm.
But they had to have a religious significance.
Mm-hmm. I take it that these people would sing unaccompanied, would they? Or would some people bring instruments into the church?
Well, there was always an organ or a harmonium in the chapel, and some people would be accompanied and some would not.
But then, I've heard from others that some people would introduce fiddles and play the fiddles and some even banjos into the event. Do you ever remember anything like that to with people with
yes, I do remember fiddlers coming to the chapel sometimes, but they generally played their own pieces. They didn't play as an accompaniment to songs.
Yes.
If they brought the fiddle along, oh yes, that was quite common. I've never heard a banjo.
Mm.
Recently, I have been to chapel things where they use guitars, the youngsters, but that's quite recent, of course. But the only place where I used to hear the fiddle played regularly at anything in the chapel, from the church services to the Ilvery or anything else that was going on, and that was at Grenaby. Tom Taggart was the official accompanist there, and he used to bring the fiddle along every time and play it.
But otherwise, if anybody brought a fiddle, it would be their own pieces of music they would be playing.
Yes.
Were they popular fiddle tunes?
Probably, yes.
Folk tunes?
Not folk tunes, no. No, I don't think I ever heard any fiddle folk tunes at the Ilveries. There may be some kind of hymns or religious things or pieces that they knew or something like that. No, for the folk tunes you have to go to different places. You have to get them mostly in the houses from the people that know them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Well, when did you first begin collecting these?
When I was about 10, I'm quite uneducated, really. I never went to school, and I used to just go around in the Balearic here with all the farmers and down to Laxey and out in the boats with the fishermen and all over the place and wandering about pretty well as I liked. And at that time I got to know, well, a little before this really, I got to know Sophia Morrison, who was then secretary of the Sheshi Gilgach and lived in Peel. She knew my parents and she came to see us. And when she found the kind of life I was living, she started me collecting, putting things down. She didn't call it collecting then. She said, you know, you ought to write down some of these things that people tell you and sing to you and that kind of thing. And she gave me a little notebook in which I started to write down things, and I still have it.
Yes.
And I was learning music, so I knew how to write the notes, but I still can't write notes straight down from singing. I can't pitch them properly, for one thing. What I have to do when I learn a tune, I learn it from the person who teaches me until I can sing it myself.
Yes.
And then I get hold of the piano and work it out on the piano.
Oh, see, yes.
At one time I played the fiddle and I used to work it out on the fiddle, but I've given that up for many years now, and I have to get it down on the piano. And I remember when I collected the sea invocation, it was rather funny because at that time I was organising one of the Celtic Congresses. I was secretary at that time, and a lot of the meetings were held in Peel.
Mm.
I don't quite know why, and I was living in Ballisella, working in Ballisella then.
Yes.
And I used to go over on my bicycle to these meetings at Peel and cycle back. There was no public transport at that time of the night, because very often the meeting ended about 10 or half past, and then I used to go into Christopher Shimon's house and have supper and a couche,
yes,
and I'd be starting home about the middle of the night on the bicycle. And this night I was coming up the Foxtail Hill, and it came on a terrific thunderstorm.
Uh-huh.
Well, I knew Mrs. Shimon that had the little shop down below the bridge. It doesn't, there isn't a shop there now, but there's a couple of houses just down below the road, right on the road, but a little below the road, just before you get to the railway bridge.
Yes.
On uh-huh. your left as you go up. And this Mrs. Shimon used to live in the upper one of these houses and have a little shop there.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew her very well, and she'd given me two or three things, so I went in there for shelter this night till the storm was over. And we got talking, of course. She gave me a cup of tea and one thing and another, and she's talking about storms, and she said, did you ever hear the tune the Peel girls used to sing for the men when the boats were away and they're fishing? I said, no, what was it? And then she sang the sea invocation for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was so taken with it, I got her to teach it to me, and I learnt it until I could sing it with her. And then she had a little harmonium in the kitchen,
yes,
and I worked it out on the harmonium and wrote it down roughly, and then that's how I got it.
Oh, very good, yes. Yeah. Was she a native Manx speaker?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yeah.
There were a lot of native Manx speakers up around Foxhill. There was Mary Shimon over at Ballymona, and the folks in the Seanthollo up
mm-hmm.
at St Mark's used
mm-hmm.
to speak Manx. I used to get a lot, and there were a couple living over at the Qualig on the other side of Barul, Mrs. what was her name, Quayle.
Mm-hmm.
There's Catty Quayle. Catty was about 60 or so, I think, and she called her the Gael. And her mother was Mrs. Quayle, and the mother's sister was Miss Cool, Aunt Betsy.
Yes.
And they had a little thatched house. It's still there, the house, but it's not thatched now. It's been taken over by the forestry board. It's just above what they call the Kringle Reservoir now.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a galvanised iron roof, and the men use it as a shelter. But when I used to go there, it was a lovely little croft. There was no reservoir, of course,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lovely little croft, a thatched house. And they had the, you went in on the front door, and there was the big kitchen on your right, and the little bedroom. And then leading out of the kitchen, there was a dairy at the back. You went out in the back there. And on the right of the fire, the chalock in the kitchen,
yeah,
was what they called the Cooley and Cool Cholly.
Yeah.
That was the little nook behind the chalock, and it was,
yeah,
a little bedroom built in at the back of the chalock,
yes,
which was very warm. It was like central heating,
yeah,
because,
yeah,
the fire never went out. And
yeah,
this is where the two old ladies used to sleep, Mrs.
Yeah.
Quayle, and she was a widow when I knew her. I never knew the husband, it was before,
yeah,
my time. And Miss Cool, they slept in the Cooley Cool Cholly.
Yeah.
And Caddy slept in the laugh, and when I was staying there overnight, they used to give me the room. That was the bedroom. And in the middle of the night, these two women, they both smoked clay pipes, they used to get up and come out of the Cooley Cool Cholly and stir up the turves on the fire and make themselves a basin of tea. And
yes,
their method of taking tea in the middle of the night was to break a couple of fresh eggs into a basin for each of them.
Yes.
And stir it round with a lot of sugar and make a pot of strong tea and fill the basin up with tea.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they drank, and they smoked while they drank in the middle of the night.
Of the many people that were speaking Manx at the time you were beginning collecting, how widespread was the knowledge of these folk songs? In other words, how many people had them? Was it just the odd one or two, or was it a few?
Yes, they weren't generally very well known. I think one or two of them were. I mean, everybody knew Mala Karain and Ciri Fhinn Iachfa and the Carvel Brockfren and a few like that that are really well
known
ones.
Yes.
And there were others that only a few people knew.
Mm-hmm.
Very often, some of the songs connected with work and that kind of thing were only known by the people that actually did the work. But on the other hand, the song for Salt and Heron was pretty well known. They used to use that down in the Balearic, even although there weren't many of them that spoke Manx properly. There were only about, there was Kelly Malacrinkey, Jim Neal, he spoke Manx, and Mrs. Cayley down at Ballymore, and Mrs. Scarfe, and old Mrs. Colleish, and Mrs. Lesh. There were about six on the Balearic that spoke Manx habitually.
Yeah.
But the younger ones, although they didn't speak the Manx, when they came round at the Herons in the summer, they used to put down the stock for the winter, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And every house would get its stock in turn, and all the women would go round to the house that was putting down, and they'd sit around and on the, and not in the house usually, they did it out of doors, either in the garden or if it's a farm on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have the big tub of heron in front of them, and one would be taking, one would be bringing salt, and one would be gutting, or several of them would be gutting, and one would be taking the salt, the herons in, and packing them in the barrel,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing, and washing them and so on.
Yes.
And it was quite a business for the, everybody went to help everybody else, you see. There were about the same number of people at every house, because one house would have its stock put down and then they'd go on to the next one.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they used to have a song for that. Some of the verses were very... they used to make fun of each other.
Well, can you remember the song? If you'd like to sing it.
I can remember one or two of the verses, I think one anyway.
Well, let's have it then.
Shenren, Shenren, free blend your feet as care, gall o fwrs o'r eisiau fe, as harrawn teigl mwr yn je, ffan la 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 di ei.
That sounds good. Have any more of that?
Hmm? I can't remember any more. That's just one verse they used to sing.
That's how they used to sing it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah.
And then they'd make up some of the verses as they went along about people, and they didn't always scan very well, but they fitted them into the tune.
Yeah.
And that's what I think Moore meant by grace notes when he was talking about it, because if the tune as, as first sung, if there was a verse made up, for instance, in this song, which didn't quite fit in, the words didn't quite fit into the tune as I sang it then, they would put a note or two more in to take the words.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's how I did it with the Killarney song, because I got so into the habit of hearing and doing that, that it comes natural, you see.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, they would adjust the tune to fit the words then for the particular verse?
The tune was about the same for any verses that were made to it, but if there was a verse made with a slightly different number of words in it that didn't quite fit the tune, they'd just put another note or two of the tune in to fit the words.
I see, yes, yeah.
It would be the same tune, but with one or two extra notes in. That's why I said, when you said it had altered the melody, putting that extra note in, I didn't take it in at all, really, because it didn't seem to me that it did alter the melody.
Uh-huh.
The basic melody was the same, but they put an extra note or two in.
So there was, from all the fellas and all the people you did hear singing these songs, they wouldn't sing them in the manner in which they would sing them in Ireland, say?
Oh no, we've nothing like the Irish grace notes at all that I've ever heard. They may have had it in the old time, I don't know. But nothing that I've ever heard has been anything like the Irish way of singing.
Uh-huh. It'd be something like them what you possibly get in Northern in the north of England. You see, or in,
well, I haven't heard many folk singers from the north of England. I don't know what they're like.
Uh-huh.
But certainly we weren't like the Irish singers at all.
I noticed in one of your books there, you got a couple of songs from a fellow from Bald Ryan.
Oh yes, Kenny Pat.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Was he an old man when you were getting them?
Yes, yeah. They were all elderly, the people I got my things from.
Because
I was only just in time to get them, I think.
Uh-huh.
And of course I got a lot of the dance figures and everything from Pat.
Yes.
Uh-huh. He lived, his house is still there. I don't know whether there's any of the family still living in it. I rather lost track of them, but he at that time, there was his wife and his wife's sister and the son and the daughter and the granddaughter, Betty. And when I used to, he used to tell me about the dances, he used to get all these people out on the floor to show me the figures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe one of the...
Mandicums.
One of the songs you got from him, if I remember right, was this Craig Willis Sill.
Yes.
Was it?
And of course he always said that was a rowing song.
Yeah.
That the fishermen used to... Craig Willis Sill was really a rock in the sea. It wasn't what they generally say it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be up Glen Helen.
Oh yes, yes, well this would be...
But he wouldn't have that at all. He said it was a rock outside Bulgham that they called Craig
uh-huh.
Willis Sill.
Uh-huh.
And this was a rowing song that the fishermen used to sing when they went past it, and it was all to the seals, inviting them to come, because where they were, there was plenty of heading.
I see, yes, uh-huh, yes. Are you, and could you possibly give us a verse of that?
Well, it's written down.
Oh yes, but I mean, if you could sing it, you know.
Well, it's far better the way it's written.
Okay.
Go on, sing the first verse.
I should give us the first verse.
I don't know, can I remember it or not?
You can.
I don't know, I can't remember. Fergic fire is just out of my gate, could I have more as here? Well, the Kay is Kenya, Kenya. Yes, I think I can remember the first verse. Fergag fire as just armagad correa mor as gia O thag high as Kenya, Kenya Cred rau el thag ron, ron
Very good, and that's how the fellow was
yes.
able to sing it to you. Uh-huh.
Well, you,
yeah.
you get the rhythm of
oh,
the
yes,
rowing energy,
rowing,
see.
Oh yes, yes, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Incidentally, there's that tune, there's a there's an Adam tune which sounds very similar to that.
Oh,
oh yes, yeah. And I don't know whether I think that tune was an old fiddle tune, but I mean it. Although it played a bit faster than we used to it there, I mean
yeah.
it's more or less the same tune. Uh-huh.
He used to say that was the rock where the seals used to bask.
Yes.
Why they called it Willis Sill, I don't know, unless it was. Well, unless Willis Sill, I think he did say that once,
mm-hmm.
was one of the fishers that lived up Bulgham. You know, there's still the remains of the old fisher's house down the Bulgham Brewers. Did you know that?
No.
Yes.
Is it?
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
And one of the boys there is supposed to have fallen in love with a mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to come out to a rock just off the shore, and he would... they had apple trees in the garden on the brew, and he used to take the apples and give them to her out on the rock, and she was very fond of them. And they called it Gobneul
uh-huh.
because of him putting the apples on the rock.
Uh-huh.
And it's still called Gobneul. A note about it. On my back.
Use the cycle up to there.
Mm.
And stay the night, baby.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Mother and father were alive then, and I didn't have so much ties.
They were living here, were they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And I used to get away on the bike and sometimes go away for 2 or 3 days and not turn up.
Uh-huh.
This is your family home then?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I've lived here most of my life. But of course I've been away working and come back again and that kind of thing.
This tune is the song. It's one that particularly interests me. There was a fellow over here called Wagner, who was doing Atlas for Ireland, and he happened to include the Isle of Man. And he got a version of Grae Machree from somebody. It went like, a Grae Machree fel Grae a Dorm.
Grae Machree o Felistwch?
No. Fel Grae a Dorm. Something, Panel of Follum. I wish Grae Mo had this was a particular verse. I can't think of it just now, but I got a there was just one verse of it, and it was different from one which you recorded and one which was in Moore's book.
Oh, that's quite a possibility, because you can get a different singer to give you quite a different version of the tune. There are several versions of Fili Finiacla,
I
think.
As you were collecting, did you ever get different versions of the same tune, whether it was in the air or in the words?
Yes. And I used to record both.
And which ones are in particular? Could you know an example?
Sally McCain. I got that in one version. A better version really is, because they've both been published in the Folksong Journal, a better version is the, what do they call it? Now that was recorded Colby, in one version, mostly in English, and I got a completely different version of it in Peel from Caesar Cashin.
Mm-hmm. And what was the name of that tune?
Sheikh and Trotach.
Oh yes, yes, the
Trevor.
And another one is the Shannon Ray. That's been recorded in several different versions.
Mm-hmm.
You can always get variants.
Oh yes.
One of the people that I used to get quite a lot of songs from was old Mrs. Brideson at Glen May. She had a lot of Gaelic songs. She was a native speaker herself.
How many did you manage to get from her?
Oh, quite a lot. I suppose about a dozen altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Different things.
Rennes,
Ellie McCaden. What do they call it? The washing song. There are a whole lot that she had.
And can you remember any of them?
I don't know whether I can now. I have to look them up. It's a long time since I recorded those. I've got them all written down somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we'd be pleased to hear these and to get to know these, you see, if they've not appeared before, you see.
Well, I think I've sent most of them to the Folksong Journal. Charles says they're all unpublished, but they're not.
He's been modest, is he?
You've seen some of those in my...
I've seen quite a few. You keep pulling one out and saying, have you seen this?
Yes.
Well, I never have.
I think I'd better get some of them in and let you have a look at
Oh,
them.
yes, because, you know, because, I mean, it can give us a better idea of how much communication there was to the passing of songs from one area to another, you see, particularly with Scotland and Ireland, you see.
Well, I always find that when people get going on this kind of thing, they always are ready to tell us where we've got our songs from, but they don't seem to think that there's been a two-way traffic at all. I think some of our songs may have migrated to the Hebrides or somewhere like that, because
possibly.
There was a lot of communication, you know, the boats went up there every year and they also went to Kinsale. While
well,
I think we did get some, I think some of ours probably went elsewhere and have been credited to other places.
Oh, I think so, yes.
And we never get credit for that. I'm rather cross about it.
Well, yeah, these tunes was they were certainly good around. So there's a tune, but one of the common airs in Skye and the Outer Hebrides is one we use for the Rain Suri. You see. That's a very common air up there. And it's also very common air in the northeast of Scotland. Hamish Henderson in the school, he has quite a few songs from the northeast to this air.
But the thing that most amused me was when Miss Gilchrist was editing those numbers of the Folk Song Journal. I don't know, was it her or was it somebody else, but anyway, they said the Dirk Dancer was known as a lullaby, I think it was, in Skye. And anything less like a lullaby, I can't imagine. I think it's one of the most vigorous tunes we've got.
Yes. Those, incidentally, you know, at the beginning of this year, up on one of the Scottish Gaelic programs they got up there, called Share Behe, there was a singer came on by the name of Anne Lorne Gillis, and lo and behold, she gives a Scottish Gaelic version of Uisg Beag Roy. See?
Well, that probably came from me.
Did it?
Yes.
You know about that, George?
No, I don't. What?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened about that? Come and tell us a story about that then.
Well, when I first published Uisg Beag Roy, one of the teachers in, where was it, Tiree? Heard it.
Yes.
And wrote to me to ask if he might translate it into Scottish Gaelic, because he would like to teach it in the school.
Yes.
And afterwards, one of the pupils from that school sang it in the mod competition and won a prize for it as a Scottish song.
It also went to Skye.
Yes.
Mm. And somebody collected it there
uh-huh.
and gave it to me about 6 months ago.
Did they?
As Uisg Beag Yarrig.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah.
That was the version of
and
the
I
song.
And I thought, this is very strange to have a Manx song up here. Yeah. And I told Mona, and she told me this, so it's obvious that the song's gone round in a circle.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what I mean by saying that there is some migration the other way.
Oh,
our
there
songs
is, yeah.
go somewhere
yeah.
else,
oh,
but
yeah.
we never get credit for them. You see what's happened about this one? They're claiming it now as a Scottish song.
Uh-huh.
Without saying where it came from, which is, I think, most unfair.
Well, do you have the word for that?
No, it was only the title and the tune.
Oh, I see.
I didn't get the Gaelic words.
That'd be interesting to find what the Gaelic words are.
I could get them.
I'll see how far they parted the song.
Yes, it would be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Did they
well,
not
see,
send you a copy of the translation, Mama?
No, I suppose they thought I wouldn't read Scottish Gaelic and they wanted to bother. But this must have been... Well, I think it must have been either in the 1920s or very early 30s. So the children who learnt it in the school at that time would certainly be grown-ups who could put it into a mod competition or anything else, or sing it to a collector or anything now.
Yes.
Or recently, within recent years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How much in the time when you were collecting, how much of the work songs were still going around?
Few of them. The women used to sing them mostly. The spinning song was quite well known and often used, and the knitting song and the washing song.
And
the song for salt and herons,
mm-hmm.
and one or two others.
And this washing song, how would this go?
Oh, that was Erin and Ye. It was sung to the, really the origin of it is supposed to be with the fairies, because there's a little stream down at Ballycrink there where they used to wash the fairy babies, and this is the song they sang to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just about how does it say now?
Hello
there. Oh my goodness! Have you got? I heard it often, fairly often, up at Grenaby in Malou, and that was William Doane's own parish, and he's buried in Malou Church. And of course, they have a more intimate feeling for him there than in many places. And
yeah.
They always, when they sang the bass William Doane, they always, the one person would sing the words, the song, like a solo, and the rest of the people, very often the women would just sway back and forward as they sang and clap, and the rest of the people would join in this, well, it's rather like a sort of undertone to the song itself,
mm-hmm.
but no, not the song words, they just sing Arthrai, 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 which is our sorrow, our
mm-hmm.
sorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you'd like to give us a an example of it.
Na 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 na
That sounds quite effective.
Yes, it does sound
yes.
very effective.
Effective, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
It sounds wonderful when you hear a crowd doing
yeah.
it.
Yes, yes. I
it's
can.
Not so
yeah.
effective with just one person.
Uh-huh. And who would you hear doing this?
Children.
Children.
Mm,
uh-huh.
Generally.
Uh-huh. But if I could give us an example of how you would, of how you heard them do it.
Ashek fe graina moni ddow, moni ddow, moni ddow. Ashek fe graina moni ddow, cred cadal o rars a ni.
Of course, so when the mother was trying to get the child to sleep, I mean, she wouldn't be doing that, though, would she? With the,
no, I suppose she wouldn't. Mm. But perhaps the other children in the family would do it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because it's quite a well-known thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that tune used as a dance?
Not out of a guy.
Wasn't there a version of that melody used to be danced to, a round dance?
Oh, yes. A ship for green, a morning down, a morning down, a morning down. A ship for green, a morning down, a candle rise and leave.
Ah, I see. Would they sing that almost like a mouth music and then dance to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, would they use those, I assume that they wouldn't use those words, would they? Perhaps they'd use the tune, but not so much the words.
Oh, they
no.
use the words as
would
well.
Very interesting.
Mm. Oh, there's another song that interests me. It has to do with something around here. That's the Songberry Dawn. I noticed.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yes. I noticed that you obtained a version. It's similar to the other extant ones, but of course there are differences in it. Who did you get that from?
Mrs. Carlo Cadelbeg.
Who?
Mrs. Carlo Cadelbeg.
And did she have any history behind that tune?
Well, the usual story about the Mackle Witch and the way she was always plaguing the people in the district, and they got sent up to Castle Rushen, and the judge was so afraid of her putting the evil eye on him that he let her off, and she stole the regimental goat and brought it back to Mackle, and it lived there for a long time afterwards.
And this tradition about Berry Dawn was going round when you were collecting these songs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a well-known one. Everybody knows it.
Yes. And would she be singing it to the same tune?
But you never get a singer to do the tune with the proper break at the end. I don't think you could put it down in music, really.
Well, how would you hear?
Give us a
How did you hear it then? How did you hear the song when you...
From Mrs. Carl.
Yeah, how did you hear...
The break at the end, how did she sing it?
Thursday, Berry Dawn, Cretar Shoe, Manuk fell once of a glass, yeah, the gather all. Him a drone, gus the clue, throggle a wine, as the air can cheat, Berry Dawn, Berry Arany.
Did she?
Joan used that.
Yes, Joan could do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's how it was done.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But you couldn't put that down on paper.
So the Scotch now, da bum, was more of a screech than anything.
Yes, was a sort of screech, really.
And then da bum, da dum, was sort of just to accent the words at the end.
Yes. I got a good version on a Joan.
Have you got a tip?
Oh, I don't know.
There's not where it is now.
No, I don't have.
Well, nobody's eaten this bit of soda cake, so I'm going to have it.
Wow.
There's also another version of the song. It's, besides mentioning the haunts where she was going, like over Pennypotting. Like it's also the one version of it which describes what she used to wear, wasn't it? Uh-huh.
Breeching his jerkin neck, it's on a brow wee. We're breeching his jerkin neck, of course you'll need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pat Moore says he was called Mag at the Stomacher.
Well, who was this? Could this possibly be two tunes or two songs or a song about Berry Dawn and one about Mag at the Stomacher? Perhaps the two were confused, you know what I mean? Possibly.
I always thought Berry Dawn was the name of the ox that she stole.
She didn't steal an ox, she stole the goat.
She did that before, but it says that she stole a goat in the first few verses, an ox in the first few verses, slayed the ox, drowned him in the pool.
That was the local one, wasn't stolen from the castle.
No, I know, but the one she stole to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't steal it, was her own ox.
It was her own ox?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
First time I heard her stealing it.
Well, there's supposed to be a pool up at the upper corner.
The Lingberry Dawn, yes.
Is there?
Mm.
Uh-huh. That's just opposite Lagan Varu, where in the river, isn't it? Just opposite the... Yeah.
Must be very dry now.
There's also... there's evidently, I've noticed in the chapter called Presentance, somebody getting pulled up for... it was a woman. Who was presented by the wardens of Moran for calling the minister kindred of thieves and of the seed of Berry Dawn. You see, and she got 7 days in St. German's dungeon for it.
Well, Bernard always goes on about his slut and the babe wee.
Uh-huh.
About you actually insulted people by calling them the generation of the yellow cow or something.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He seems to feel that Berry Dawn's song, the fact that it's mentioned an ox, is in fact an insult to Margaret the Stomacher by calling her that.
It's quite an interesting legend.
Well, legend. I suppose you get the sun mingled at the one and chat.
Plenty left, yeah.
But the sort of style is quite a...
But what was the name of the witch then? Berry Doane or Margaret the Stomacher?
Berry Doane.
Mm. Or who's Margaret the Stomacher then?
Well, I think that must have been somebody that lived at Conay, but it wasn't Berry. That's one version of the song. Not that song, but another song that Mrs. Carley used to sing that was, how did it go now? Nageda stomacha comalonskane as gawi the ghoulish. Where did it go on? Gawi the ghoulish. Flesh something. I can't remember the proper words of it. It's gone. But that was another song about Margaret the Stomacher. It wasn't the Barry Doane song.
But in Moore's version, it's Margaret the Stomacher that goes to Castle Rushen and steals the goat.
Well, he's got them mixed up then, because
yeah.
It wasn't. It was
seems
Barry that stole the goat.
Anyway,
and this is the impression I got from it, that you could have a song which was, which describes the actions and activities of Margaret the Stomacher. And a song in the same vein described Berry Doane, and the two get confused, you see.
Yes,
yeah,
I think that's
do.
What Moore has done. He's confused the two.
Yeah.
He's taken them both as being about the same person.
Uh-huh.
And
I think
he does
not.
A lot of times is give you a tune which takes two verses to fill the tune,
uh-huh.
and then gives you 15 verses.
Yes,
yes. Which is what he's done.
Yeah.
I think there's 13 verses there.
Yeah. But for he's done this with a Ren Suri.
That's right, there's another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which we, you know, it seems to indicate to me that possibly that his version was sung to a four line tune, you see, possibly.
Yeah.
And also you find this with Egna Fiddler, and there's 52
yeah.
lines.
Oh my goodness, that's the most mixed up one of
it
the
is.
Lot.
Yes, it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
I never heard two people sing that song the same words.
But did